Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
Summer's over. Right, it's time to get back to the real world again. Are you guys ready for that? Are you ready? Because we got a midterm coming up. The real world is in front of us. There is no more fun time, right? Thanksgiving's the next thing we got to look forward to. Like, oh my God, Chad, stop it. We have Halloween, which I love. You guys know that. But we got a long way to go before we're taking some more time off and trying to take a deep breath. This is the sprint between now and Thanksgiving. And then once you get to Thanksgiving, right, it's like a couple weeks and then everything goes, try. But this is it. This is it. Yesterday was the hoorah of summer. We said goodbye to summer. Yes, summer is technically still here, but we're getting on with ourselves. Somebody was working yesterday. That was the President of the United States, Joe Biden, once again, bringing us all together.
Well, let me tell you something. Those of you in this country, Democrats, Republicans, and mainstream Republicans and independents, we have to be stronger and more determined and more committed to saving American democracy than the MAGA Republicans and that guy off that door are destroying democracy. Because democracy is at stake. We got to remember who we are. We're the United States of America. There's nothing we can't do if we do it together.
There you go. Giving the speech, right? Coming together, going out there and campaigning and doing all the great, just bringing, uniting us, just uniting everything about us. It's the beauty of it.
But all kidding aside, we did fine. No complaints. We did fine. But here's the point. The biggest contrast from what MAGA Republicans, the extreme right, the Trumpies, they want to go to Congress. These MAGA Republicans in Congress are coming for your Social Security as well.
Wow. First of all, I have no idea where you're going with that. And now you call them Trumpies. And we know who they are. Are there people out there? Look, there are people out there in the Trumpies world, if you will. What is that about? Who are, sold for Trump, and Trump is what matters. Yeah. I mean, the process doesn't matter, the whole nine years. But Trump was a symbol for them of, hey, look at us comparatively to you. You downplay who we are as Americans. You think the fact that we're old-fashioned and that we think that the government has overstepped its boundaries and all of these things that we believe to hold true in our Constitution, you guys have stomped on. And this guy came along and he said, hey, stop judging these people. Stop looking down upon these people. Stop that stuff. And now you come along and I don't know where Hillary is going. Hey, Joe. I called them deplorables. It wasn't a good thing. Right? Now you're calling them extremists and you're calling them Trumpies. That's not a good thing. There's T-shirts everywhere already.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not recognize the will of the people. They refuse to accept the results of a free election.
Yeah. Are there some people out there that have? Yeah, but you spent 4+ years, the Democrats, trying to talk about how evil and bad Trump was and how the Russians basically got him into office, knowing full well that was all a bunch of crap. You've got Stacey Abrams in Georgia, who has spent, 2+ years, 4 years, whatever it's been, basically saying, hey, you know what? It was stolen from me. It was all a bunch of baloney. This guy shouldn't be governor. This guy is evil and bad and it's not uniting. Both sides have their issues that they need to deal with. You had a chance and you didn't bring people together. You had a chance after that speech the other night with the glow behind you. Right? That ominous, kind of felt Illuminati-esque. You had a chance to maybe come out and instead you double down because you feel like right now there's opportunity. You feel like you're seeing the Republicans start to struggle because when it was Republican on Republican violence, if you will, in the primaries, people weren't really paying attention. Because they figured, you know what, the Republicans right now have such a lead when it comes to your unfavorability is huge. The lead is massive that they're going to, it's a foregone conclusion that they're taking back the House. That they're probably going to win the Senate. Now you're looking up and you're going, well, the people that got through aren't quality candidates. They're starting to panic. If we continue to hit them harder, this should really end it. But remember, when you go out and you do that and you start to demonize people, how many times have we talked about this on this program? When you start to make it personal, people, even if they don't believe or even if they know they're wrong, what do? They start to fight back. They start to push back. And the reason? Because you made it personal. And you had a chance to soften the tone, as you'd like to say, to bring the temperature down. And you're not doing that.
Age does not guarantee wisdom. His speech was a very cynical attempt to fill our heads with stupid. I thought to myself, what a missed opportunity to talk to the American people straight up about the reasons when they lie down and sleep at night they can't. He could have talked about crime, inflation, learning loss by our children, the mountains of fentanyl coming across the border killing our teenagers. Instead, he chose to say to the American people, if you don't agree with me, you're a bad person and you're not even an American.
Yeah, that's not helping. Again, the division, the rhetoric, you're not bringing the temperature down. You're not being the great uniter. You're dividing as much as Trump is. Trump's out there again, pushing it. Everybody's doing enough. Let's focus on the things that matter. Right? Inflation's still high. Our kids, the struggle in schools is huge. We touched on it last week, but it cannot be overstated. We cannot talk more about this enough. The fact is, those 16 to 18 months of lost learning, hybrid learning, hot mess learning, has set kids back years. I mean, big time. We should, but you're not going to focus on that because you're in bed with the teachers union, so you wouldn't want to talk about that. The reality is we're all in this thing together in theory, so we should talk about this. Crime is ridiculous. We know that. And we can start checking off all the boxes. All the we want so much of the same thing. But you made it personal. And when you do that, people push back.
The people that President Biden is talking about, some of whom supported President Trump, some didn't, are the people who get up every day, go to work, obey the law, pay their taxes, try to teach their kids morals. They are proud of America. They do want to make America great again. They just don't agree with President Biden's neo-socialist woke agenda.
Now, how much woke agenda is there? You know, I think he's allowing too much noise behind him. But I think the reality is he doesn't have much control over a lot of the stuff that's going on. Secondly, and I think this is important, if you're going to make it personal, you could talk about, well, Roe v. Wade and the falling of that is energizing the base. Some of that may be true. But if Roe v. Wade's not on the ballot in a lot of places, people aren't going to come out the way you think. Secondly, and when you make it personal, you forget that there are women out there that are also pro-life. You forget that when you slam people that maybe they voted for Trump once, they didn't do it again, they weren't happy with who Trump was as a person, but they liked the way that he did things. But now you're lumping them in areas where you make it seem like they are also part of the problem. And because they don't agree with you, that somehow they're bad and that everybody should agree with you or else. That's not good. That's not good. And third, you make it so people aren't feel like they can ask questions about things. They can't question or challenge. Well, you did that for 3, 4, 5, 6 years. I mean, since it came down the damn escalator. Front page of the Washington Post on inauguration day for Trump says, the march to impeachment begins. Think about that. When everybody feels that the establishment media is against them, when everybody feels that that Hollywood's against them, when everybody feels that every time they turn on the television, that they're demonized as fascist and Nazis, and anti-Semitic, and then you come out and you continue to push on that rhetoric and you don't expect a pushback. Even for people that are like, I'm not a fan of Trump, but I'm not into this. You watch what happens. Make it personal and see what happens. Hillary will tell you. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program. Hope you had a phenomenal weekend. I will tell you about my interesting weekend in a little bit. Let's just say crime is the best way to describe the weekend. Raycon, best earbuds around. Love my Raycons. Wear them pretty much every day. Whether I'm editing, playing golf, or whatever it is that I'm doing, I love them. 8 hours of talk time, 32 hours of battery life, the best earbuds around. Premium earbuds at a price that's not going to smash the bank. You can start well under $100 for these, and they are truly amazing. And it's the fit to me that makes the sound quality so much better because you barely feel them in your ears. And they've got several different sound modes. So you can have awareness mode, right? You know, that's where you, and then you've got like what I call the hyper focus mode, where all you hear is whatever it is that you're listening to. Right? With the awareness mode, I can hear what I'm listening to and I hear it great, but I can also pick up noises outside, which I like, especially when I'm playing golf because I like to hear me hit the ball. Right now, save an extra 15% on the best earbuds, Raycons. Go to buyraycon.com/Chad to save an extra 15%. Buyraycon.com/Chad. Buyraycon.com/Chad. 323-538-2423. That's your text line at Chad Benson Show. It's your Twitter, Chad Benson Show.
If you're part of the politically exhausted majority, don't fear. Your time to be validated and rejuvenated is here.
Wake up!
It's the Chad Benson Show.
Excessive heat warnings have now been extended through at least Thursday night. In this oppressive heat, 110 degrees and higher, it slaps you in the face when you walk outside.
It's so hot. It's like unbelievable, this heat wave in September.
100 plus degree temperatures in much of California since last Thursday. Jared Jordan is visiting L.A. from New Jersey.
I've never felt a heat wave like this. In Jersey, like, by September, it's cool. We're getting ready for fall, drinking pumpkin spice.
Here, though, it's a hot pumpkin spice.
Yeah, I will say. So this weekend, I traveled out to see my son, Jack. He's 12, has played a hockey tournament. And so went out there. And thank God he's playing hockey because there was a lot of soccer tournaments going on out there as well. So, and I'm like, it is cooler in Arizona than it is in Southern California. And there's no humidity. So it was delicious. It was not. I was like, damn, this sucks. Super sucks. I will say this, though. The traveling. Because I am not a fan, you know, like traveling on holiday weekends. The way I normally do it is I would have taken normally today off. So I don't have to rush. We had no traffic out there Friday, minus a little bit in Phoenix, where it goes from four lanes to two lanes. This is work they're doing everywhere. And no traffic yesterday, minus a little bit in Phoenix, where it goes from four lanes to two lanes, coming back the other way. There was no traffic anywhere. There's no traffic in California. None of that stuff. Because it's too damn hot to go outside. It was gross. But what made me laugh is everywhere you go, it's telling you, don't turn on your power. Don't water. Don't turn on the power. Don't water anything. Don't do it. Don't, between 4 and 9 p.m., just suck it up and live in the heat. And it was nasty heat. You know, everybody said it's a dry heat. You don't realize what that really is until you're in a dry heat and then you go to a place where there's humidity. And then you're like, oh, this sucks. It does. I mean, it was good. It was good getting back into town last night. I'm like, oh, it's only 104. But there's no humidity. And our power was working. And we can water kind of. We're in a drought, too, in Arizona. Let's not lie. But let me tell you how the weekend started, shall I? Okay, fantastic. Drive out there on Friday. Make sure I gas up right before I cross the border, because I know once I cross the border, it's going to be super expensive. Gas up, get there, meet my family. My mom comes out, right? My aunts, my little brothers, Spency. Very excited. Haven't seen them for a while. They're excited to see Jack. A great night of fun, the first night and stuff. And, you know, we get Spency out. And for those of you guys who are new to the show, Spencer's my little brother. He is actually my nephew. My mother's adopted. He's in a wheelchair. He's got a trach, a G-tube. He can't talk. He's got cerebral palsy. All these issues. But he's just the happiest kid in the world. And he has survived everything. He's 19. They said he wouldn't live 19 days, let alone 19 years. So we get all of our stuff out. We go upstairs. We have a great night. We get some dinner. It was a lot of fun. And get ready for the games the next day. And go down in the morning, get our breakfast, right? My aunt goes, they towed the car. I'm like, they towed your car? Yeah. I'm like, Laura. They go inside. Hey, yeah, you towed our car? No, we didn't tow your car. We didn't have anybody. Look at the video. Stolen. Some SOB POS stole my little brother's handicap van. You suck beyond words. California, get your crap together. They were talking about around there the fact that crime is ridiculous. And we were in a parking place with a security guard who said, I chased him. And then what? Nothing. Did you call the police? No. We just didn't. Oh, my God. Stupidity. They found it, destroyed, picked clean. Thank you, you POS. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show's your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
I'm looking at this, this permission slip that Mark Tepper, who's a, he's running for Congress or something. he's a, the capitalist investor. You see him all over the place, but he posted a picture of a permission slip that he said he got sent home for his kid. It says identifying gender pronouns. Like, is that, oh my God. Again, just the insanity of the world that we live in. Both sides have crazy. It's our job as the exhausted majority to keep crazy in check and to take back the conversation in this country. That's what we need to do. Both sides, again, have crazy. So we're past Labor Day. A few things you don't do right after Labor Day. Does anybody, Phil, do you know what you're not supposed to do after Labor Day?
Wear white.
Wear white. Interesting. One of the managing editors of Vogue spoke about why we do that.
They were going for weeks, sometimes even the entire summer. Nowadays, where we can wear shorts and tank tops, they couldn't, and it was really hot. So wearing white for them was just a way to stay cool.
Wearing white was a way to stay cool. What?
I can trace it back to essentially the Gilded Age and the Progressive Era. So that's like late 1890s and 1900s. Like so many trends, they began in the elite circles in New York City.
Oh, gee, see, it's all about New York City. So they wore white because it's cooler. But then after Labor Day, as we heard that guy earlier from New Jersey, he's like, dude, I'm from New Jersey. It's like normally this time of year in New Jersey, it's starting to cool down. And I'm in California and it's super hot. I'm not used to this. No. But they wore white because, well, you know what? It's hot. It's hot outside. Dark colors make it even hotter. Well, first of all, you guys are all wearing wool. Secondly, you're wearing 4,000 pieces of clothing. That doesn't help.
It kind of snowballed into this edict of style when it was always one about practicality. If you look back at publications in the time, there was no official statement that says, do not wear white after Labor Day.
All right. So if you are worried about wearing white, you walked out today. Oh, God, people can yell at me. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. You can wear white after Labor Day for many reasons. One, it's stupid to even think you shouldn't. And two, come on. Well, we don't live in the Gilded Age. We do not. Some say we do. Some say we do. 323-538-2423. At Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program. So we have this thing, and it is called immigration. Now, for those of you guys who know what immigration is, it is how you are supposed to enter this country in a legal manner. Okay? So to migrate to a place, you're migrating from point A to point B. And in doing so, you apply for certain things, and then you eventually are, if all goes well and your ducks are in a row and it takes a long time and it costs a lot of money, you get to come over to this country and to live. We have a thing called illegal immigration, which is way easier when it comes to the process of getting into the country, even though the journey itself is ridiculously hard for many and dangerous and awful and horrific. And we have a system that is inviting. I think we can all agree on that. D.C., Mayor Adams in New York and New York City, and Lori Lightfoot are very upset with Governor Abbott and at times Governor Ducey, because Governor Abbott decided, hey, we could just get some buses and we're going to just send some people to some of these sanctuary states and cities and just allow them to do their thing.
Texas, obviously, if none of these migrants were sent anywhere else, would have to bear all the brunt of this themselves. Aren't these migrants better off going to places like Chicago?
I'm happy to take and drain Texas of all of its residents. I wouldn't want to live in a state with a governor like that. I certainly wouldn't want to live in a state where they are doing everything they can to strip people of their basic rights. So we welcome Texans to Chicago. And we'll rent the buses next time.
Okay.
To bring them here.
You said Texans. You didn't say people that were here illegally. Now, we can sit here and do I think, look, I see so many of these people. I live in Arizona. I'm on the border. Right. I see it day to day. Vast majority of people that live by me are Border Patrol agents, because I literally am in the heart of what goes on between Tucson and Yuma. And it's nuts. It's crazy. Disorganized. There is nothing about our immigration system at this moment in time that is worth a damn. This president has failed. His vice president, his vice president, when she's not mumbling and doing whatever the hell she's doing, right? You know, there is nothing about anything that they put together that is worth a damn. It isn't. They have completely ignored and then tried to blame it on other people. No, this is a you problem. Well, the last guy was mean. The last guy is not here. The last guy did some stuff that, yeah, you know what? I wasn't a fan of when it comes to some of the stuff on the border, but the reality is it was completely overblown. But I tell you what, he did do something. He slowed it down big time. They're coming here with zero fear. They're coming here knowing if I get to the border, Biden's letting me in. And the numbers bear it to be true. So Texas and Arizona said, all right, well, we'll ship them off, right? If everybody, because it's an only their problem. That's it. It's only their issue. It's nobody else's issue. Well, it becomes later on down the line. But the difference between a flood and a trickle is huge. And the amount of pressure on places like Yuma, Tucson, El Paso, McAllen is huge. It is. And while everybody else screams and yells, don't be mean, the reality is, I thought you wanted to do your fair share. You're the ones who are screaming, we're going to turn this into a sanctuary state. We're going to do all of these things. We're going to go against federal law. It's not a big deal. We'll allow you to come here. All they're saying is, good, here, take a bit. And by the way, you're not getting a full stomach. You're getting a taste. There's a difference. Oh.
Well, I don't think this is what we stand for. I think it's decidedly unpatriotic. I understand the pressures that the people of Texas and some of the other border states are under. We see that on a daily basis. But the thing to do is not this. This is creating a human crisis. And treating people without dignity, without respect, it's not what we are as Americans. And it's, frankly, another demonstration of unpatriotic conduct on the part of the governor of Texas.
Really? What's unpatriotic about it? Nobody's fixed the border. Everybody's talked a big game. Everybody blocks anybody from getting anything done because the reality is to give a win to somebody else means your team won, not America. Both sides have benefited from it, and both sides love the fact that they can raise money off of it. The reality is, we'll have 3+ million people come to this country this year. We will vote very little about or nothing about. That'll put it close to 6+ million people in 2 years with this administration. To say that they don't have an open borders policy would be a lie. When you can come here, say, where I'm from is awful and horrible, and I'm being persecuted. Well, here, come on in.
The rest of the world is watching us and how we're treating these people who are coming to our country because they're fleeing violence. They're fleeing a lack of economic opportunity. They were fleeing other kinds of persecution. This is what our country has been about. We open up our arms and we welcome those who have struggled to find a decent quality of life elsewhere. And the way that we welcome them is not what the governor of Texas is doing. It is absolutely un-American.
No, what you're saying is we welcome them. And as long as I don't have to welcome them and you can pay for it, it's fantastic. That's how we welcome them. As long as Yuma, McAllen, El Paso, Tucson, Phoenix, as long as you guys take them in and you pay for everything and you do all of that, we're fine. I'll give it to California. I ain't bitching about it. People there do. But you're not seeing the governor run out and say, oh, this is ridiculous. No. No. Because California deals with it. And that's something they took on. They decided, hey, come on over here. We'll give you a license. We'll give you everything you need. We'll take care of you. It's not a big deal. But when it lands in your neighborhood and you're not used to it, oh, again, it's like the homeless problem. We're going to talk about the homeless problem a little bit later, especially in Portland and the nightmare that is, nightmare this weekend I saw in California. But the reality is everybody wants to deal with climate change, homeless. They all want to deal with it the same way. Talk a good game, pass it off to somebody else. As long as I don't have to see it, as long as I don't have to pay for it, as long as I don't have to deal with it, then let's fix it. Oh, yeah, I can see that. How many times have we heard stories about, like, all right, we're going to put up affordable housing here, and the rich people who are all vote Democrat go, well, you're not doing it in this neighborhood. You're going to block my view. Oh. Yeah, well, we don't want to do that. No. Immigration's the same way. As long as it's Texas and Arizona's issue, well, that's fine. So when it becomes everybody else's issue, especially in Democrat states, well, then it's you know, we could barely get by. I mean, Mayor Adams acts as if they're sending 500,000 people a day there. So we've almost 800 people, 1,000 people, 2,000. You're the city that never sleeps. You have 12 plus million people. You had a grain of sand. You didn't even get a sandbox full.
He professes to be a Christian. This is not Christianity and the teachings of the Bible that I know. What we must do in this moment is make sure that we do live our values and we open up every opportunity that we can to support these migrants who have had such an arduous journey getting here to Chicago. Here is a land where we believe in justice for all, and we're always going to welcome them. And we need to make sure that the memory that they have of Chicago and the United States is favorable. I want them to feel like in this moment that they came to this city and we wrapped our arms around them and loved them and supported them.
Fantastic. And take care of them and pay for them. Look, I feel awful. I see people, I talk to people almost on a daily basis. You can't. I live in a state where we are ground zero for immigration. I will tell you this, though. All that being said, you have to have a plan, and you have no plan. You have to have an idea of what you're going to do. You have no idea what you're going to do. To fix the problem means you have to deal with it. To deal with it means you're going to have to give in a little bit to some of the things that you want. And in doing so, the other quote-unquote side's going to get something. And when the solution comes about, well, the money disappears. Oh, they run on it. That's what they do. Follow the money. Both sides turn a blind eye because they got donors who are fine with it. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show's your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. Oh, baby. Rough Greens, RUFFGreens.com/Chad. Go there, get a free bag of Rough Greens. Best supplement I've ever given my dog. The only supplement that's ever worked. I've tried everything with Doodle, and this is it. 4+ years or whatever it's been we've had. I mean, I've been giving to him forever and a day. He is happy. He's healthy. His quality of life. My mom goes, that dog, Doodle, still alive? I said, still alive, Mary. Still alive. Why? Because Doodle's great. His quality of life is awesome. He's bouncy. He's healthy. He's happy. He's energetic. It is awesome to see. He went from lethargic and in pain to just taking Rough Greens. Didn't change his food. We didn't do anything. Sprinkle on top of his food, and boom, it has changed everything. You're going to love this. Vitamins, minerals, probiotics, omega-3, 6, 9, all this incredible stuff inside of it is truly awesome. And if you say, hey, to yourself, I'd like to try a bag, how about for free? Dr. Dennis Black's going to send you a bag for free, ruffgreens.com/chat. Go there now. Get a free bag of Rough Greens, roughgreens.com/Chad. You cover the cost of shipping. The bag is yours for free. Try it. roughgreens.com/Chad. Chad Benson Show.
You stink like fear and white male privilege to me.
I do often out myself verbally as agender. My pronouns are they, them, and I'm proud to be agender.
Are you stupid?
Ruben! What? Are you kidding me?
Not a great way to use your white privilege.
Some people get it. Some people don't.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Kids going back to school in Uvalde. They are not going back to the same school, because we were looking, we're like, oh my God. So it's the first day back today since the gunman killed 19 children and two teachers last May. Robb Elementary, I think they're going to bulldoze it. The kids are going to Uvalde Elementary School now, and it has a different look. That is for sure. Extra precautions put on. And, you know, it's going to be tough.
This is all about kind of a day-by-day process of, you know, listen, we're going to install the security cameras when they come in. We're going to get the fence out as soon as we can. Some of this is back-ordered. And so right now the district is asking for a bit of grace. But in the meantime, also, a lot of law enforcement around here trying to give as much support as they can.
Yeah, well, that's good. Law enforcement, is it other people than the idiots that were there that day? Just curious, like, do you have other people that weren't there? Maybe we need some of them.
We have noticed that there are at least 30 state troopers set up here and around the community at other schools to help parents feel supported in this moment as they send their kids back to school for the first day. We also saw a therapy dog actually being taken inside this elementary school as well to help the kids feel a little bit better as they start their first day.
Yeah. And imagine being one of those kids, right? So you're going in there and you're going to have this stigma around you, right? Like those are the kids that were, you know, there that day. And then they're going to get hundreds of questions and it's going to be, you're having to relive that moment over and over again as a child for at least the next several days and a few weeks, I'm sure. You know, and for the rest of your life, but as a child right now, you're going to have to deal with it every single day. When you get older, you're going to deal with it in a way that, you know, like kids deal with it from Columbine or some of those other things. Like, oh, you went to Columbine? Yeah, were you there? Yeah, I was there. But right now, this is going to be continual because kids are going to be curious. Right? And I think you try to get it out in the open. So you can try to get past it rather than make it a mystique and mysterious, if you will. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show's your Twitter. You miss any of the show, please grab the podcast. Grab it on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn Radio app. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show. Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
We are past Labor Day. It's on. Been saying that for a while. Once we get past Labor Day, it is go time for midterms. If you'd asked 6 weeks ago, who do you think is going to win? I was going to say, Senate was still going to be close. But the House? No, I think the House was easily going to fall into the hands of the Republicans. Now? I don't know about the Senate. I think it's probably going to stay in the hands of the Democrats. Again, you don't know who shows up, how energized are people. But the House, I still think they'll win, but it's way closer than it should be. And I've said since the beginning of this, at some point in time, both sides will figure out how to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, how to screw something up. Confidence is there for the Democrats right now. They feel like they've got some stuff done. They've got some stuff passed, right? That their base is happy. Their base is energized because of what they see out there is, you know, Roe v. Wade, the attack on all of the stuff that's going on. It's, oh my goodness me. They're ready to do this. And they feel like it's theirs for the taking because the Republicans are such a mess.
Coming into Labor Day weekend, you're starting to see the beginnings of what could be a blue wave. I don't think people understand how upset and how motivated Democrats are. There was a season of shame from the time that the Afghanistan exit was botched and this whole year of getting nothing done where Democrats had our heads held down. Now, because Biden has been so successful on his legislative agenda and Republicans have been so scary in what they're talking about, attacking the vote. And then you have Donald Trump basically saying, if you come to Washington, D.C. and beat people up on my behalf, I would give you a pardon. That scares the crap out of people.
Yeah, that is insane. And I have said, when it comes to Trump, his revenge tour, and it was a revenge tour. Don't say don't think anything other than what it was. In many cases, it was a revenge tour. But remember, winning the primary is not winning the general. Mitch McConnell a couple of weeks ago says, no, I don't think we're going to win the Senate based on the fact that we just don't have good quality candidates. Dr. Oz is a hot mess. And the fact is, it would be a boat race if it wasn't for the fact that the guy he's taking on, Fetterman, is also a hot mess. And I feel for the guy. He had a stroke. But this is a guy who's never held a job, a real job. His parents supported him. He's almost 50 years old with a family. And, you know, you've got, I don't know what's going on in Georgia, because you look out there and you shake your head and you think to yourself, is this going to happen? I mean, is this really, are you guys going to lose this? I mean, are you going to lose this right now? Herschel Walker has a 2-point lead, but I'll be honest with you. It'd be a 10-point lead if it was anybody but Herschel. He's a mess. And then you got Blake Masters out here against Kelly. They're not putting any more money in. Now, Blake Masters is fortunate enough because he's got Peter Thiel as his backer. Peter Thiel's pretty close to Trump, a billionaire, early, you know, mover in PayPal, I think was, you know, and Facebook. So he's got gobs of cash that he's thrown into this, but Kelly's got a ton of cash, and the Democrats saw this as a seat they wanted to protect, so they've thrown a bunch of cash in here. He's had no ugly battle to go through, and he's behind. Now, they still have chances to flip it. I don't know about Dr. Oz, but what a nightmare that is there, right? Fetterman's a nightmare. I mean, the last couple of weeks, have you heard him? He is all over the place. He is struggling. And I go back to, has nothing to do, like his politics, I'm not a fan of. The stroke thing is a sad thing. Take that, you know, but who are you going to elect? Somebody who you look at and think, a reality TV show doctor who seems pretty out of touch, or a guy that's never really had a job and has just been continually educating himself and going out and, you know, being a community activist and a mayor of some town that, and he is had a stroke and he is struggling at times to get through things. That's what you got. But because the polarization, because of all the stuff, it is given hope. All the stuff of continually fighting over the 2020 election. All the stuff about, you got Roe v. Wade, and then you've got the little comments of, oh, we're going to look at, you know, marriage equality. And you start going down the line, and, you know, you've got both sides now feel like they've got their energy. The mojo is in their corner.
And so now you have the economy on the one side, which I think motivates the Republicans. But you have this sense of democracy under threat motivating Democrats. And that's making people want to stand up and go vote. Biden was speaking for tens of millions of people tonight. And I think that you're going to see this clash now. It's not going to be just a red wave. There's going to be a blue wave fighting back.
Yeah, it might be. But then you look over and you see Biden. Biden's been a disaster. Let's not pretend. His immigration, horrible. The economy, I mean, he could sit there and talk about jobs, which there's plenty of that we can't seem to fill. A lot of those things. You know, you sit there and go, well, you know, the economy's not awful. It's not, we don't even know what it is. I mean, they changed the term recession, right? But inflation is crushing everybody. The Brits are going through it. They got a new prime minister today. She's looking at unprecedented inflation. I paid a ridiculous amount for gas. The cost of stuff is through the roof. Still, I don't know how the average person, you know, the average family of four gets and does the things that they do. Because I look and say, no, we're not doing it. I mean, that's insane. Why would you spend that kind of money on stuff? But I still see people out eating. Still people doing stuff. Is it the last two raw? I don't know. Is this fourth quarter going to be super telling? I have no idea. But the economy hasn't been great. Our foreign policy has been a nightmare. Immigration is a debacle. And yeah, he's got some stuff passed, some of which I think is pretty good. But a lot of it is fat pork for green energy and redistribution of wealth. It's just a lot of stuff. He's just, eh. Then you got the woke, wacky culture. And then you come out and you look around and you give a speech that is divisive. Then you come out yesterday, Labor Day, have a chance to maybe to bring the country closer together. But no.
But all kidding aside, we did fine. No complaints. We did fine. But here's the point.
What?
The biggest contrast from what MAGA Republicans, the extreme right, the Trumpies, they want to go to Congress. These MAGA Republicans in Congress are coming for your Social Security as well.
Oh, well, there's some fear, right? So they're coming for your Social Security. These MAGA Trumpies, right? Not bringing people together.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not recognize the will of the people. They refuse to accept the results of a free election.
There are some people out there that do, but you know what? They have every right to question. The beauty of the freedoms we have is you have every right to question. How many people did you see when Trump was elected saying he's not my president? He's there illegally. A lot. A ton. Both sides want to feel like their side does nothing else. Let me say this. You hold your side accountable. That's what you do. And there shouldn't be sides. We're all Americans, but that's what we are. But what Biden did is he turned it personal. When you turn things personal, what ends up happening? Even if you may be in the wrong, or even if you believe you're in the right, and you want to have a normal conversation with somebody or a debate, and you believe you're in the right, but somebody's made it personal, what do? You dig in. You put your heels in and you dig in. You don't give an inch. You push back because you've made it personal. So as much as the other side, if you will, is energized because of this, this, and this, you've now energized the side that right now was having issues. People that weren't MAGA Republicans who now feel like they're being attacked because you can sit there and spin it all day about the crazy this or the crazy that or this. But they're feeling like, well, I voted for that guy. I didn't have to like the guy. My mother said to me this weekend, it's time to move on. And my mom, she liked Trump. She goes, he's a horrible person. But I liked a lot of the stuff he did, but it's time to move on. But when she heard that the other night, she's like, this is the stuff right here that just pisses me off. Hmm? You're energizing people. You're picking a fight with a wounded animal that was struggling. Let's be real. The Republicans have some issues that they need to sort out, and they've got a battle going on in their party. And now you've come out and you've energized them. And like everything else, it's about just in sports. It's about getting hot at the right time. We'll see. We'll see. It's going to be interesting next couple months. 323-538-2423. At Chad Benson Show's your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program. I'm talking a little homeless later. Man, there's so many homeless in L.A. And you just don't even... It's bizarre. There was this beautiful golf course. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at it. And I'm thinking to myself... My daughter says, why are all those tents there? And I'm like, ah, God, just because, honey, this is what it is. Welcome to the world we live in. 323-538-2423. Talk about that little what's trending straight ahead. This portion of the program is sponsored by BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. All right, let me tell you something. How'd you take care of your car? So you get your car, right? And, you're going to keep it your entire life. Are you going to take care of that thing? Brains are the exact same thing. How would you treat them? See it every day with my little brothers and my stepdaughter that you got to do some things different. You got to give it the tune-up. You've got to work with it. That's where BetterHelp online therapy comes in. And it is a lifesaver for so many people out there. I was talking to my aunt this weekend, and her and I were talking about the fact that, you know, getting in to see her, you may get an appointment for one day, but getting in to see her on a consistent basis, she's in California, you're waiting forever and a day. Not happening. It isn't. With BetterHelp, you can get that consistency. Same thing with my stepdaughter. There was just no way after COVID and everything. And that's where BetterHelp comes in. And BetterHelp is amazing. Now, they offer online therapy, which is great. It is so much cheaper. than in-person therapy. Now, you can do video, phone, even live chat only sessions. So if you don't want to be seen, you don't have to be seen. But it's way more affordable and it's easy. You fill out an online questionnaire, you're matched with a therapist with under 48 hours. Right now, 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/Benson. It is truly a helper. Talk to somebody, refreshing that brain, get some stuff out, work through it. BetterHelp is here to do that. BetterHelp.com/Benson. 10% off your first month. BetterHelp.com/Benson. Chad Benson Show.
Hashtag me too. Hashtag immigration reforms. Hashtag help. I'm trapped in a hashtag factory and I can't get out. The Chad Benson Show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. Liftoff.
Now it's time to find out
what's trending.
What's trending?
Yeah, what does that mean?
I mean something, right? Like it's trending on the old internet.
What's trending?
Let's find out what's trending on the web. Apparently, Harry Styles spat on someone. Number one trending thing in the last 24 hours. He spat on Don't Worry, Darling co-star Chris Pine. What? In the footage, the former One Direction member, who was 28, took the empty seat beside Pine, who had director Olivia Wilde on his side. After the late night talking singer seemingly aimed his saliva at the 42-year-old actor, Pine froze mid-clap and stared into his lap. Holy jeez. Spitting on somebody, that's the one thing in my soccer league, the fighting and stuff, yeah, when I played. If you spit on somebody, you're done. You're done. Like, you are, that is, ugh. Francis Tiafoe, yesterday, surprised everybody in the U.S. Open. People are going, who's this guy? An American male that can play tennis? He beat Rafael Nadal. Because the reason that men don't follow tennis here in a big way is because we don't have any stars, you know. Now, especially that the Williams sisters are no longer playing. I couldn't even tell you another American female or male tennis player. I'm like, Andre Agassi? Is he still a thing? He is not. He is not. Head over to the magical world of Twitter, where there's all kinds of stuff going on. Very interesting. Obviously, lots of stuff going on with Trump. Trump was right. Zuckerberg. A bunch of crazy, you know, stuff out there. But immigration, we've talked about it. Still trending in a lot of places. And the reason is because the battle that is going to continue to happen until somebody decides they can fix something. National Read a Book Day, also trending. Uvalde, kids are going back to school for the first day. People are looking at what they're doing. They're not going back to Robb Elementary School. They're going to Uvalde Elementary School, but they have, I mean, the entire eyes of the nation, and indeed probably the world in many places, are staring at what is happening there. And, you know, they talk about that. We've got police there. I'm like, dude, I hope it's not the police that were there the day that all this went down, because, you know, they sucked at their gig. Oh, yeah, they did. They did. Plus, David Muir sat down with Zelensky, president of Ukraine, as it looks like their offensive to try to take back pieces of their country that they lost with the Battle of Russia. But he asked him outright, hey, Russians, they want you dead, right?
What is your intelligence telling you? Does Russia want you dead?
Yes.
Yeah. They absolutely want him dead. A little bit more about that. Homelessness, a nightmare. Unhoused, people in between domiciles. Talk about that. 323-538-2423 is your text line. Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
Now we're being told that Harry Styles, different camera shows different things. I don't know what happened. All I know is there's controversy when it comes to Harry Styles and Chris Pine. Who's Chris Pine exactly? His dad was the... Was his dad the sergeant in Chips, I think it was? Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much all I know about Chris Pine. I think it was in Star Trek movies. You don't know a lot of it? No, I don't. Harry Styles and I was in a band. It wasn't the Beatles. I know that. What do you know? I know all kinds of stuff. I know homelessness. Excuse me, unhoused. Excuse me, between domiciles. We talked last week about the insanity of California and what they're trying to do. Let's go back and revisit a bit of that wackiness in what they're trying to do, because they're going to fix everything when it comes to the homelessness, right? So they're going to go and they're going to fix it all, because they've got great ideas, like asking people in California, hey, should we make hotels put up the homeless?
In Los Angeles County, more than 60,000 people are homeless on the average night. And more than 20,000 hotel rooms lie empty on the average night. See where this might be going?
It's insane. It isn't going to solve the problem.
We think this is one part of the solution. By no means do we think this solves the homelessness crisis. But do hotels have a role to play? Of course they do.
Yeah, so that's insanity. Because rather than fix the problem, realize that it's drugs and mental illness, or mental illness and drugs. Plus, you have some people that are just weird and live off the grid, but very few. And whenever they come out, they're like, well, it's always about a single mom and a kid. It's too expensive to live. Again, enough with that. Is it expensive? Absolutely. I worry more about the elderly on fixed incomes than I do about the 34-year-old that believes they're priced out of a home. That's not the reality of it. Drugs. Yesterday, we were, we were in Riverside, so we're in Ontario, and we go in to get something to drink, and everybody go to the bathroom because we're going to take one quick shoot all the way out to Phoenix. And so we go in and get, and the girls are in the car, and it's locked up. And there's a guy standing in front of the car, and he's against the wall, kind of. His eyes are closed, and he's passed out but standing up, swaying a little bit. And there's two guys over in the corner doing it. And the whole time I'm thinking to myself, this is not a problem with the cost of housing. So California's idea is, I got a great idea. Let's make the hotels pay for it. Then you go to Portland. Portland's got a great idea. People are like, we're done. We're just leaving. We can't do this anymore. It's awful. It's gross. It's time for us to go. Because it's nuts.
Drug use, garbage, rats, and violence became an all-too-common sight outside the homes in this neighborhood off Southeast 80th and Rhine.
At 8 o'clock in the morning, there's folks that are, you know, smoking meth, they're shooting up, there's domestic violence, and it's like, it's absolutely absurd.
Nathan Lamb has lived in the neighborhood for 6 years.
There's multiple times where you have to come out with slumped over individuals and say, hey, my son's handicapped bus is coming in about 5 minutes, can you please move along?
No, why should they? Why should they? It's crazy, right? Portland is the epicenter of you got Portland, Seattle, and San Francisco, Los Angeles. It's the epicenter of wacky progressive ideas. It's like right there. People are over it. Like I said yesterday, there's a beautiful golf course, and there's a beautiful park, by the way. It wasn't just the golf course beautiful. It's just a municipal park, and it's beautiful. And there's a playground, and there's all these tents set up, and you got all these wackadoos outside, crapping in the streets, crapping in the yards, making it where kids aren't playing there. Why build a new swing set when you got Cracky McCrackerson next door? You don't do it. Portland. I've talked to so many people. When I was a kid, I went up there a lot. And it was beautiful. And then it stopped being that. And somewhere along the ideas, the great progressive ideas started to come along. And then they started to be the place for, it was originally the place for the runaways, right? So, oh my God, it's all the, now it's a place for ne'er-do-wells and drug abuse. That's what it is. With little repercussions to them, leaving the business owner, the homeowner, the victim to sit there and go, what are we going to do?
He and his neighbors spent months trying to get the city's attention. It took hundreds of emails and phone calls until the rapid response team showed up Monday morning.
Is it shocking to you that it takes such a struggle in order to get some action?
Absolutely. It's absolutely remarkable that no one responds. No one seems to care. Obviously, we feel like these individuals get more rights than we do.
Yeah, because they do. Because for many, it's uber progressives. It's you're the bad person in this scenario, because you have all of the luxuries of life. You own a business, or you have a job, and you have a car, and you have a home. So therefore, they're the ones who are the downtrodden and the out. The downtrodden and the really the ones who have been put out because of you, because of your success and your whiteness or your education or your whatever crap they come up with. No, it's nuts. There are zero repercussions. Whether it's San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle, or yes, Portland.
Crews spent about 2 hours clearing the campsite. Many who live in this neighborhood say it's just a matter of time before the homeless move right back in.
I'm not going to hold my breath.
Rebecca Phillip also lives on Southeast Rhine. She's moving to Washington next month due to the camps.
We've had many camps moved out of here, and as soon as they clear them out, they move right back in.
Yeah. Like that. The minute they're gone, they move back in. It's a show. Oh, and then like, but they can't afford a house. Give them a house and watch what happens. Let them stay in your home and watch what happens. We're not talking about the person that is struggling and that is not on drugs or has mental illness, but lost their job and it's gotten too expensive. We're talking about the people that have decided this is the life they're going to lead. And they've got addicted to drugs, or they had mental illness because of drugs, or vice versa. Whichever way, however it started first, it doesn't matter. Stepping over piss and crap and people passed out is not a great introduction to your bakery.
We're human too, you know what I mean? We're just on hard times right now.
Medina Dewan was one of the people living in the camps.
And I felt bad for the neighbors because, like, you know, the friend that I was coming over seeing was camped out in front of the house. So I'm like, not only are you guys bringing down the property damage, but this lady don't want to see the shelter. I mean, it's like, well, thank you for cleaning up the tampons and the left on the ground. We appreciate that. But 2 seconds later, all that about to be back on the ground, you know what I mean? Because we don't have a place to stay, we're on drugs, and that's just what it is, you know?
Yeah. Look, she gets it. That is what it is. And the city allows them. That's not the way it should be. For all, and here, there is a great homeless industrial complex of charities and nonprofits who live off these and huge grants and get tons of money from the government and provide services that don't work, but it doesn't matter because they're getting paid. And they'll roll out somebody who was, she was a single mom and she was struggling, but then we got her GED. You know what? She was always working. She was always busting her ass. She wasn't addicted to drugs or meth or crack or doing anything like that. She was staying in her car. And you cherry pick somebody who you knew, you know what, we can help them get into an apartment and they're going to be just fine. These people, they're so gone in many places. That guy yesterday standing in front of my car, passed out while standing up, swaying back and forth. And you think to yourself, first thing I thought is he going to try something? Is he going to say something? And then I realized that dude's passed out. You're not fixing him by giving him an apartment. The guy needs, mentally, he's no longer there. So he's talking to himself as we turned the car and he mumbled and wandered away. But if you're a business owner, What the hell are you thinking? But you've welcomed this with your progressive ideas and continually saying, let's just deal with feelings and we won't deal with facts. Because if we deal with feelings, it'll make us feel better. The facts aren't going to.
They cleaned 14 and removed 64.
Because if you move someone away from the situation, you got to give them a solution, right? Because there's a problem. But what do you do to solve it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, true. But nobody wants to do what it takes to solve it. Right? Mental health and drug addiction. What do we do to solve it? How do we take people off the streets who, quite frankly, against their will? Because we all know with drug addiction, it ain't going to work if they don't want to do it. And with mental illness, well, how do you go about doing that? Because you're going to get people stepping in saying you just can't snatch people off the street. There's ways of solving it, but the feelings way isn't working. It's time to try some other things. Maybe a little tough love? Maybe. Oh, good God. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us, text the program. It is, it's crazy. I'm telling you, it is. And if you've been out there, and whether it's, you know, you're in Sacramento, San Francisco, Indy, like you go to Portland, obviously, Seattle, Los Angeles, San Francisco, San Diego, any of these places, and you see what they're doing. I mean, this weekend in L.A., they shut down the 5, one of the busiest freeways on the planet, because homeless people had started a fire while they were doing something. And lo and behold, tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people are having to wait hours upon hours upon hours to go from point A to point B.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Fun times. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show. It's your Twitter, Eden Pure. You don't like smelly things, you get Eden Pure. Best air purifier around. It's the Oxyleaf 2 Thunderstorm. It is incredible. Does not mask odors. It destroys them. You're going to save $200 on the Oxyleaf 2 Thunderstorm. You get 3 units. You're going to use code CHAD3. What does it have? First of all, eliminates odors fast. No masking. No filters to buy over and over again. Takes up zero floor space. Plug it right into the wall. Super quiet. And yes, it purifies the air and provides you with a little pure fresh air that smells a little bit like a thunderstorm. Hence the name, Thunderstorm. Get your Oxyleaf 2 now. You will love it. Can purify the air in your home in moments. You get healthy, clean, fresh-smelling air. Odors gone. Kills mold, mildew, bacteria, viruses. Eden Pure. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Use code CHAD3. Save $200 right there on a 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code CHAD3. Breathe better with Thunderstorm Air Purifier by Eden Pure. EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code CHAD3. Chad Benson Show.
I usually don't get into politics. As an ordinary suburban housewife, I feel a little disrespected. I teach my children not to name call.
You are a blabber! A blabber!
Come on, man!
Guys, can we please keep the chatter to a minimum?
Chad Benson.
I can't save everyone.
$3 movie tickets? Who cares? That apparently was the reaction to Friday's National Cinema Day based on the Labor Day weekend box office returns. The re-release of Spider-Man No Way Home with 11 minutes of new footage topped all comers with a projected $7.6 million through Monday, with Top Gun Maverick close on its tail. But that $3 deal wasn't enough to dispel an otherwise dismal final weekend of the summer movie season.
Yeah, movies, it's a struggle. People still trying to find their way. And Axios has some interesting stuff about the entire thought process of what's going on in the movie world. It's very interesting. Quick read. But when you go in there and you look and you find out, look, what do we want? If we're going to the movies, it's got to be an event. It's got to be big. It's got to be loud. It's got to be bold. It's got to be something where, like indie movies, we're not seeing indie movies in a theater. It's not happening. It's not. Dramas, nah. You know, we can get as good on television. Comedies, romantic comedies, no. Action. Big, booming action is what it's all about. Lower budget indie films, they're saying, are staying at home. They're streaming. Why? Because I don't need all of the stuff. When I go see a movie, if you go see The Avengers or you go see Top Gun, it's meant to be on the big screen. It's big. It's bold. Yes, you can watch it at home, but the better experience, at least the first time, is seeing it on the big screen, getting the feel of everything on the big screen. It's an event. Watching people act, if you will. I can see that at home. I don't need the experience. I don't need the booming sound. I don't need the massive screen. I don't need any of that. So my uncle and I, we had dinner the other night, and he and his wife went and saw Jaws, the re-release of Jaws, because they re-released it, you know, celebrating like the 40th anniversary or whatever. And he was saying, you know what's great about it is we saw it in IMAX. And what you don't realize is that was 70 millimeter. It was meant to be in a theater. It was like the surround. It was made for the Panavision kind of thing. So you get a whole new perspective. Some things are meant that way. And they're saying action is cleaning up. What's not cleaning up is dramas. And that's not going to change. It's just not. Not anytime soon. I think the next big hit we're probably going to have that's going to be big-ish might be Halloween. But they're struggling right now. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program. There is a new sheriff in town, if you will, in Britain. And, well, she is now the prime minister.
She was elected to Parliament in 2010 and has sought to compare herself really to Margaret Thatcher, often actually dressing up just like her, but not really is much known about her.
That's right. Who is the new PM? What is she all about? And is she the next coming of? Liz Truss is her name. Not a ton known about her. One time she was on the left, I think, but she's become uber conservative. She's vowed to rule as a conservative in every way, shape, or form.
Her views have shifted radically over time. She played heavily to the right during this campaign, but needs now to broaden her appeal as Britain faces a massive cost of living emergency. It's been fueled by 10% inflation and climbing. And actually, during the campaign, she dismissed providing immediate help, calling them handouts. But now she might be forced to provide billions in financial aid as energy bills explode.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how she does it and what kind of range she'll have, if it's a short one or long one. 323-538-2423. Miss any of the program, grab the podcast. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
Man, what a Labor Day weekend. Hope you had a solid, fun time. I know I did. It was great. It was stepping away from politics for a few days. And yeah, I had some parents talk to me about politics, but I really didn't get into it because Jack had a big hockey tournament. My son, 12 years old, he had a hockey tournament. It was a lot of fun getting away. And, of course, I worked last week for a couple days. And it was just good getting away. But just because you're away doesn't mean you're away. Because this job's 24-7. We're always getting, you know, emails and phone calls. And you got to be up on the news and everything. And yesterday, while we were all enjoying our day, Biden was out spreading love.
Well, let me tell you something. Those of you in this country, Democrats, Republicans, and mainstream Republicans and independents, we have to be stronger and more determined and more committed to saving American democracy. then the MAGA Republicans and that guy Alcantara are destroying democracy. Because democracy is at stake. We got to remember who we are. We're the United States of America. There's nothing, nothing we can't do if we do it together.
Yeah, nothing. So they're destroying. And it is so bizarre when you hear they're destroying. Look, I've got friends who are MAGA, and I have friends who are uber progressive. And by the way, some of them are friends because at the end of the day, we've all grown up together. We look around and politics, while we may differ in certain things, the reality is it is what it is. You know, we realize it's a portion of our life. It's not who we are. And that's a big thing. You know, I mean, you know, that is a huge thing for people today, is the identifying of politics as who they are. I don't identify as politics who I am. This weekend, you know what I was? Same thing I am every single day. I was a husband and I was a father. This is a gig, you know? I hung out with my uncle and my aunt and for a little bit. Saw my mom and got a hilarious story. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But most importantly, I was a dad this weekend, right? We didn't talk about crazy stuff. I didn't have to, because what mattered the most was being there. And while some people asked me a few questions, mostly about the gig itself and, well, you know, because now, you know, we're on in San Diego and you know, some of the parents said, oh, I am really curious. You know, Jack has told us and we kind of listened in, and I was pretty excited about that. I was just a dad. And that's the thing that mattered, you know, cheering and you know, playing. And we had a hilarious, like, 2-hour swim fest on Sunday night. It was a Marco Polo game like you couldn't believe. And it was that's the things that matter. But everybody lives in this world of politics now, and that's what makes it so divisive. The thing, you know, he wants to talk about what unites us. Here's what unites us. We are, if you ask everybody, right? Same kind of questions, not just about politics, but life. You'd find out that when you go back through most of it, a good 60, 70, 80% of it, we all agree with. We all agree with. Remember, so much of what you hear is about trying to get people scared, because you can raise money on that. You can raise money on scare tactics. Always remember, as we talk about on the show, Superman needs supervillains. Otherwise, he's just kind of a cop that can fly.
But all kidding aside, we did fine. No complaints. We did fine. But here's the point. The biggest contrast from what MAGA Republicans, the extreme right, the Trumpies, they want to go to Congress. These MAGA Republicans in Congress are coming for your Social Security as well.
They're coming for your Social Security. They're coming for everything. They're here to take you away. They're here to destroy you. They're here to kill you because they can't stand you. Civil War is here. How much of that stuff have you heard? I mean, God, this weekend, I don't know how many times I flip on the news for 5 minutes and I hear, oh, this is a civil war, it's a civil war, a civil war.
And Barbara, you study civil wars. Is President Biden right about the threat the country faces right now, do you think?
I want to emphasize we're not on the precipice of civil war. But we know from just decades of research on civil wars that partial democracies, so weak and declining democracies, and those democracies with political parties that have broken down along racial and religious lines are at the highest risk of political violence and civil war.
Yeah, it's not happening. Again, the laziness in you underestimate our laziness. You do. You underestimate the laziness that's out there. We're not going to have a civil war. Who would we fight? Are we fighting the government? Are we fighting other people and the winner takes on the government? How does this work? Is this a round robin tournament? I'm just curious on how this is going to work. But the rhetoric, the noise, man, when you hear it, it sounds, oh my God, civil war. Let's talk about civil war. Oh, I've got to pay attention to that. I've got to pay attention to that.
Is it helpful in terms of easing the divide for President Biden to call out the threat? Is it helpful in terms of preventing damage being done to our democracy and having this discussion?
Yeah, I think it's a really fine line where you don't want to be unusually or unreasonably alarmist. You don't want to create a sense of fear in the population so that they become uneasy and they feel threatened. The Democrats have to be very careful.
Yeah, Democrats do. Like everybody, when you start to get crazy, you start talking forward, you start saying these kind of things, and you start getting in the face, you start demonizing a group of people that you feel it's okay to demonize because, as far as you're concerned, they're just evil, bad people because they wear red hats.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic. MAGA Republicans do not respect the Constitution. They do not believe in the rule of law. They do not recognize the will of the people. They refuse to accept the results of a free election.
And for what? How many years did we hear about it was stolen, it was stolen, it was stolen, it was stolen from the Democrats? How many years? Do we hear that? It was stolen. We heard it over and over and over again when it came to Trump. Everybody now, that's their go-to. It was stolen. Something happened. I was robbed. Let's do a recount. The whole nine yards. Stacey Abrams. Let's not forget that. Stacey Abrams, Georgia. She lost by 80,000 plus. It was stolen. It was robbed. It was stolen. They stole it from me. I mean, these are, everybody does it. That's the new thing, because the thing is, it keeps you in the game and you're able to raise money off of it. Stacey Abrams' whole it was stolen thing got everybody behind. It doesn't matter if it's true or not. That's the sad thing. You know, trying to teach your kids, hey, you know, it's important telling the truth. Doesn't matter if it's true or not. Because it's, if you say it long enough, you say it loud enough, people are going to eventually believe it. But demonizing a group of people is not going to be helpful. And when you call people bad people, when you say they're a threat to democracy, when you say they're, but they are a threat, how are they a threat? Honestly. Are there idiots out there that would like to do certain things? Yes. There's idiots on both sides, right? That would love to do stuff. Extremes on both sides. That would love to have one party rule. It's not going to happen. It's not. It's not. But you can't demonize a group of people. I mean, Hillary's got to be going, man, Joe, I called them deplorables. It didn't work. Don't do it.
Age does not guarantee wisdom. His speech was a very cynical attempt to fill our heads with stupid. I thought to myself, what a missed opportunity to talk to the American people straight up about the reasons when they lie down and sleep at night, they can't. He could have talked about crime, inflation, learning loss by our children, the mountains of fentanyl coming across the border, killing our teenagers. Instead, he chose to say to the American people, if you don't agree with me, you're a bad person and you're not even an American.
Yeah. John Kennedy, our favorite senator, he's right. I mean, you say that. And again, there are people out there. Somebody asked me the other day, so my wife actually said, when you get threats, whose threats are the most ferocious? Oh, I said, oh, MAGA threats. When I get MAGA threats, when I don't agree with something that Trump said or did, or when I said it's just time to move on, those threats are crazy. But the name calling on the other side is from the left is tremendous. I mean, I get called a racist every day. I get called anti-Semitic every day. I get called a homophobe. I get called, I mean, the names, the things that I get, it is, I get F this, F that, all these hilarious things. Everybody screams and yells, and we have given them a platform, too, to scream and yell. Let's not forget that if we would have gone back 50, 100, 200 years, and we would have had social media the way that we have it now, what that would be like. Oh, yeah, that had probably been bad. Yeah. Biden had a chance yesterday, I think, to kind of undo that bizarre speech the other night, and he didn't do it. Instead, he came out and demonized again, because this is it. They feel that they're energized. They feel that there's opportunities here to go out and to take advantage of what they see as a weakening Republican Party that is fracturing, that has bad candidates, and to actually surprise everybody, which is a huge possibility. Don't get me wrong. And we'll talk more about that, because let's get to the brass tacks a little bit later. The reality is there is an election in the midterms coming up. And right now, how many times have I said this? What should be an easy walk to victory for the Republicans, they have now made a tougher road for them to go down to get what they're looking for.
The people that President Biden is talking about, some of whom supported President Trump, some didn't, are the people who get up every day, go to work, obey the law, pay their taxes, try to teach their kids morals. They are proud of America. They do want to make America great again. They just don't agree with President Biden's neo-socialist woke agenda.
Yeah. I mean, we joke about the woke agenda. I don't think he's too much into the woke agenda. People around him are. But it's just frustrating, man. It is. This weekend, you know, it's just great. We're out there. We're having fun. Parents, Democrats, Republicans, hippies, conservatives. We're cheering on our kids, and our kids are playing in the pool, and we're having a great time. And it is so much of what the world is truly about, the most important things. And we have stomped all over it with everybody in this snapshot, you know, almost, you know, this little glass gilled cages they live in, where they believe that everybody else is living their same life, identifying as this, and that's how they live their life, and it couldn't be farther from the truth. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show's your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program. Love hearing from all of you. Raycons, best earbuds around. My Raycons are awesome. I have to hide them in my golf bag now because the kids steal them. It's just what it is. What it is, right? There's nothing else I could do. The kids steal them, so awesome. Raycons got all kinds of stuff, but the everyday earbuds are incredible. I love them. I wear them when I golf. I wear them when I'm doing work. I've got some in here, you know, and in between, you know, sometimes the commercials I have to go voice something, and it's just, it's great having them. They get just amazing reviews. 49,000 five-star reviews with the best earbuds around. Super comfortable. You can wear them all day, and you never, ever have to worry about them. I was talking to my brother. I'm like, I got to get Dakota some Raycons. It's tough getting my little brother's stuff because they break stuff all the time. They're just, they're bulls in China stores. But his earbuds drive him crazy. And I'm like, I'm getting you some Raycons. He's like, well, don't let, you know, Elijah see them, because he needs to wear them because he's always playing his stuff too loud. They're incredible. They really are. And you can wear them all day long. If you want the best earbuds around with so much talk time, 8 hours, 32 hours of battery life, the best fit around, half the price, Raycons. Go to buyraycon.com/Chad. Save 15% right now. Buyraycon.com/Chad. Buyraycon.com/Chad. Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Certainly a legal win for Trump for now, no question. He asked to have this judge insert a neutral third-party independent arbiter to look through these to protect his rights and privileges, and now he has that. Of course, DOJ may appeal. People need to understand, though, ultimately, while it's a win for Trump, it's a procedural win. It does not prevent DOJ ultimately from charging or not charging, or from gaining a conviction or not gaining a conviction. I think it's likely that when this process is done, the number of documents that actually will be filtered out will be fairly small. And if they are filtered out, John, they'll be privileged, and DOJ shouldn't be able to use them in the first place. So this is a win for Donald Trump. It's really more of a speed bump than a brick wall for DOJ, however.
Yeah. So, you know, again, it's this craziness, and it goes back to all of the stuff we're just talking about. You know, again, Trump, you know, Trump is name a president that has the kind of sway, former president, that Trump has. He can't. Obama doesn't have this kind of sway. He's not in the minds of past people. Clinton didn't have it. I mean, nobody has this kind of this sway and is still part of the conversation day in and day out. And where the party itself is both enamored with him and terrified of him.
Here's what I said. If the raid on President Trump's home
the likely nominee for 2024 better bear some fruit here. If it's just about mishandling classified information, we've had a standard set when it came to Hillary Clinton. People on our side believe that when it comes to the justice system, there are no rules regarding Trump. Get him. It doesn't matter how you get him. So I said, if it's similar to what happened to Clinton and he gets prosecuted, it will be one of the most disruptive events in America.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about it. There isn't. I mean, you know, well, she was Secretary of State, which is arguably the second most powerful person in our government. Vice president is not powerful unless the president themselves, something happens to them. Then they become president. That's what makes them powerful. Outside of that, there's no real power. Most of it's ceremonial. But the Secretary of State deals with so much in, you know, across the world and globe, arguably outside of the speaker. And I mean, those are the most powerful people. She got rid of how many? 30 plus thousand emails? I think the people are saying, look, if you have one standard for her, but a different standard for him, you would understand why people are pissed and looking, going, well, how did she get the? So if he would have just copied all of these, put them on a server, then wiped the server clean, we'd be fine with this. But also remember, Trump, you signed into law something that cracks down on this. The question is, were they classified? Well, I don't know. Were they? Well, that's a question, because he can unclassify stuff like that. Well, there's a procedure. Not really a hard, fast one. Tweet at us, text the programs, the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.
Independent thoughts, independent life. This is Chad Benson.
Oh, I tell you what, it was good seeing my family. It was good. I leave Arizona, and I'm like, all right, cool. You know, normally this time of year, we'll go down and see my son in San Diego a couple times before he goes back to school. He'll spend a lot of time out here in the summer. We go back, and we'll go out there and see him. He's got a bunch of hockey tournaments now, so at least that was good because it was indoors and cold. But I got out there, and it's hotter than it is here. And it's nasty because it's got that humidity. It's got the humidity. I was not a fan. I got to say that. I was not a fan. It was crazy, too. First night. The first night we're there. So we stay at this hotel in Riverside, because that's where his tournament is. So we stay at this hotel in Riverside. And first night we're there, we get ourselves situated and move our cars around. You have to drop our bags off and stuff. Because, you know, it's my mom's at her. So my brother Spencer's at her. Spencer's got a special van. It's got the lift because he's in a wheelchair. He's never walked. He's never talked. Never done any of those things. It's my little brother. And so we get everything set up. Get inside. We're hanging out. Next morning, we go downstairs and my aunt goes, they towed the van. I said, what? I said, towed the van. So what do you mean they towed the van? Yeah, they towed the van. And I said, are you kidding me? So we go up and we're like, where'd you guys tow the van to? You know, because we're in your parking lot, right? You got to go through this little gate and everything. He said, oh, we didn't tow the van. We don't have... What do you mean? Sure enough, stolen. Stolen, stolen, stolen. Some SOB, some POS stole my little brother's handicap van. You scumbag. Who the hell does that? It's a handicap van. Crackheads, idiots, losers. And they scrapped it and they found it. It's undrivable. It's destroyed. It's scrapped and stuff. And my mom was, you know, it is. Oh, my goodness me. So that was our adventure to California. Hot and nasty. Then back to work we go. Speaking of back to work, it's very interesting. Remote. So the pandemic changed a lot. We've talked about that. I mean, you know, they're still talking about the pandemic in when it comes to, you know, oh, this is a new world we live in.
I've heard Secretary Cardona say this over and over again. You know, people do talk about going back to normal. And I've heard Mr. Secretary say, you know, normal wasn't working out so well for some people. And so the goal in my mind is not to go back to normal. The goal is to build a very different new normal that has equity much more at the heart of it.
Okay, well, that's a bunch of crap. I'm just going to say that right now. Well, it wasn't working out for some people. So you guys are using this. I mean, the more that you talk about this stuff, the more that you let this stuff out there, the more people see, say, this is totally the Great Reset. You guys want to grab onto this. Our kids are struggling. We'll talk a bit about that in a bit. Our lives were turned upside down. And then it was, well, we're going to do some remote work. Well, this is the best thing we got now. Now nobody wants to go back to the damn office. I mean, Apple's, you know, workers, you know, sent this long, giant, essentially a full script of this is who we are. This is what we want. This is our demands. And coming back to the office, it's not part of it. The rest of us, we're getting on with our lives. We're back in the office.
That 6 in 10 employees who work exclusively remote are extremely likely to change their company if they're not offered remote flexibility. A lot of people feel that they are actually more efficient, productive, and effective in some kind of combination of home and work. And also a lot of people have managed their life, you know, their families and their school. Everything is managed around this ability to have flexibility.
Yeah. Now, in saying that, I never had a problem with it. Some people can work from home. Some things just aren't good when you're not around a bunch of other people. You need to be around a group of people. Some things are fine. It's a different world. A younger generation is adapting, I think, easier to this. But also a younger generation is more apt to say, well, I'm going to leave and go find something new because there is no loyalty and vice versa. There's no, I want what I want. I want what makes my heart sing. Those kind of things. We were always going to somewhat remote anyways for a lot of gigs. The pandemic sped it up. But it's the I want or else thing that is hilarious.
Study after study shows that people are more productive when they're in the office. We've done research on culture and seen that it does not affect culture. Culture is what drives results, and it's not water cooler talk. It's really about the experiences that we co-create, which can absolutely happen on a Zoom call, on a telephone call. We don't need to be together in person. What a gift to be able to stay home, to be able to have breakfast with your children and not be in commute traffic, to be able to hit the soccer game and also get work done.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you've got that, I've always kind of worked remote, right? Because being voiceovers, you don't need to be anywhere now. I can be wherever I want to be and do my voiceovers. My radio show here goes out to 100 plus stations nationwide. I don't, you know, but I come into the office here for my other show, my local show. So, because it's a long drive. I have no problems doing it remotely. My partner, on-air partner, I think he would struggle with that. I'm a little bit more adaptable. Let's just say that. A little rigid in his ways. Me, more malleable. If you can get the gig done, I think it's great. If you can. But there are people out there that don't. And this is very generational. So an older generation struggles with. They want to be around people more. They feel that that's where the energy is. The Gen Zers, I think, are more apt to go, I'd like a little bit of both, right? And then the younger generation wants and likes this because their world has always been remote. So it's easy for them. The problem is their work ethic isn't always great. Oh, yeah. So it's finding the balance. And I think coming in 1 or 2 days also does you good. But I also think this, too. A lot of people look and say, God, you know what's great about being remote? I don't have to worry about saying something, being misinterpreted, getting in trouble for something. I think there's a lot to that as well. There is. Not seeing people, so you may get in trouble. Hybrid is, I think, the way it's going to go. And if I am workers, you're looking for that right mix. Eventually, as we have this right now, because of the problems with not finding enough employees, eventually what happens? You get the right balance, and then it goes from being an employee's marketplace to an employer's. That's why getting in now and finding the position that you want at the company you want gives you the opportunity, the best opportunity, to make sure that when things do get back to somewhat quote-unquote normal, guess what? You're in a position that's good, where you've worked and you showed that you could be successful, and the demand for you to get back in the office full time, it may not be there the way I think it will be for other people who are just going to bounce from place to place, so they think get what they want, to eventually find out they can't bounce anymore.
So what is your advice to bosses? What is your advice to them, how they deal with their employees and craft some kind of middle ground here, maybe for a hybrid workplace?
77% of companies are doing a hybrid work environment right now. So there are already companies who know how to work from home. We need to remain flexible in our thinking. This idea that we need to get back into the office because we've got a lot of real estate and that rent is very expensive, that doesn't have anything to do with productivity. It doesn't have anything to do with results.
No. And bosses, I know, I work with a couple companies out here, my local, who are absolutely 100% downsizing, getting rid of their stuff because they're like, we don't need this many. But what we do need is an office where we can all get together, where you come in on a Monday and a Wednesday or a Tuesday and a Thursday. And in coming in those days, you have an office to work at, but it's just basically a filler position more than anything else. We're going to get there. It is. It's true. We are. For some job, I mean, obviously you're not changing tires at home or making hamburgers at home, but this is also very much a privilege, if you will, for all the, oh, everything's privileged. This is super privileged, right? Being able to work from home, that's pretty privileged. What do you think?
So we need to remain flexible and allow people who are embracing the work from home lifestyle to do so. The companies who have gone against that, it hasn't worked. It's going to continue not working. To make an arbitrary rule that because it's Labor Day now, we need everyone back in the office, it's sorely mistaken. And I urge bosses to reconsider.
Yeah, the one thing the bosses do too, which is once things got expensive, health, childcare is still a real struggle out there. And in the pandemic, people, you know, they liked being home with their kids. It was awesome. I loved having my son out here. It was incredible. Because during that, you know, he's in California where they shut everything down. It was amazing to be able to have him here so much, but I still had to come into work every day. It's finding the right mix. But for a younger generation who have kids, it's a little bit tougher, right? That's one of the things they're talking about when it comes to childcare. But bosses can give you a raise without having to give you a raise. And they do it simply by saying, hey, guess what? How would you like to stay home 4 days a week? Oh, yeah. Saves you money. Saves you childcare. That's a raise without giving you a raise. And I think a lot of people would take less money to get that job. And that's one of the things bosses have to look at. But you got to do the job. That's the other side of it. That's the, you know, one of the things, and this is a saying that I used and I've been using forever. Success is doing all the things that you don't want to do. Something to remember. 323-538-2423. At Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Tweet at us. Text the program. Love hearing from all of you. Speaking of, man, we got so much stuff to get to. And we're going to try to squeeze it all in. Talk a little bit of immigration, the heat waves this weekend. Check out the show. If you're new to the program, check us out on Twitter at Chad Benson Show. Check us out on Facebook and Instagram, Chad Benson Show, as well. And you can text the program always, 323-538-2423. At Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. Rough Greens, ruffgreens.com/Chad. The best thing as I've ever done for my dog. It's funny, my dog Doodle, his life is still going. My aunt asked me this weekend, how's Doodle? I said, still alive. And she goes, man. And they're like, still kicking? I said, he's doing great. And they said, you guys ever think about putting him down anymore? I said, no. I said, no, the reason's simple. It says the quality of life is amazing. Doesn't see that well, but he eats great. He's happy. He's bouncy. He's got more energy than he's ever had. It is awesome. And the reason's simple, Rough Greens. The best, absolute best thing I've ever done for him. Supplement. It's got vitamins, minerals, 20 digestive enzymes, tons of antioxidants, 15 powerful probiotics, omega oils, 100% natural. Incredible. Sprinkle it on top of his food. Boom. His energy levels through the roof. He doesn't itch. He doesn't scratch. He's got the best attitude he's ever had over the last 3-4 years since we started giving him to us. And that's all because of Dr. Dennis Black. And right now, he wants to give you a jump start bag. It's a free bag of Rough Greens. All you have to do is cover the cost of shipping. They're not asking for anything other than that. RuffGreens.com/Chad. Go there, cover the cost of shipping. A free bag for you. RuffGreens.com/Chad. RuffGreens.com /Chad. We'll wrap it up straight ahead. This is the Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show, where we reach across the aisle and occasionally poke someone in the eye.
Texas, obviously, if none of these migrants were sent anywhere else, would have to bear all the brunt of this themselves. Aren't these migrants better off going to places like Chicago?
I'm happy to take and drain Texas of all of its residents. I wouldn't want to live in a state with a governor like that. I certainly wouldn't want to live in a state where they are doing everything they can to strip people of their basic rights. So we welcome Texans to Chicago, and we'll rent the buses next time to bring them here.
Nah, you're really going to do that? Honestly, you're really going to do that? Again, the immigration thing is it baffles the mind at times, the bizarre rules that we have or non-rules, the you get to stay and in staying here, you also get to stay for X amount of years, but you can't work, but here's all this free stuff. And then you go and you build a life here, and then we're going to call you up eventually and we're going to say, hey, guess what? You have to come to a hearing. And then when they don't show up, people are shocked, and it is the weirdest. I don't get it. I have never gotten the way that we handle immigration, and I don't know if any other country can fathom the bizarre world of immigration that we have, which is free flowing and never stopping. And you know what? Arizona and Texas have every right to be pissed. The only reason you guys are talking about this, Lori Lightfoot, Adams in New York, D.C., is because you're getting a taste, not a full stomach's worth, of what is going on at the border and the pressure that Texas and Arizona feel on a day-to-day basis.
Well, I don't think this is what we stand for. I think it's decidedly unpatriotic. I understand the pressures that the people of Texas and some of the other border states are under. We see that on a daily basis. But the thing to do is not this. This is creating a human crisis. And treating people without dignity, without respect, it's not what we are as Americans. And it's, frankly, another demonstration of unpatriotic conduct on the part of the governor of Texas.
Yeah. It's unpatriotic. It's evil. It's bad. Blah, 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 blah. This isn't who we are. Who are we? Because it feels like we're a nation that has made up rules that nobody follows. And everybody, Democrats and Republican, have used these people as political footballs to raise money for their donors, et cetera, et cetera. I'm trying to figure this out, Lori Lightfoot. As you sit there and talk about all of these things, the reality is, well, who exactly are we? We're a welcoming nation. Okay, well then why doesn't everybody do their quote unquote fair share? Because it feels like the brunt is being borne by two states. And when you get a few people that show up in your state, you're angry about it. And then, of course, it's somebody else's fault.
The rest of the world is watching us and how we're treating these people who are coming to our country because they're fleeing violence. They're fleeing a lack of economic opportunity. They were fleeing other kinds of persecution. This is what our country has been about. We open up our arms and we welcome those who have struggled to find a decent quality of life elsewhere. And the way that we welcome them is not what the governor of Texas is doing. It is absolutely un-American.
You listen to her. So what we should do, according to you, is just allow anybody to come here because their life isn't good somewhere else. I don't blame people for coming here. Not one bit. I blame the way that we have handled this on both sides of the aisle. But the left, in particular, the Biden administration, you have jacked the pooch. You've been awful at this. You've been the worst president I have ever seen when it comes to immigration because you have no plan. And that plan is pretty simple. Allow anybody to come here whenever they want and we'll go from there. That is not a plan. That is not. Sad. Very sad. 323-538-2423 at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter. You can tweet at us. You can text the program. Solid fun show day on this Tuesday. I love short weeks because I'm working Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, taking Friday off. A little me time on Friday. A little me time. You guys have yourself an amazing Tuesday. And as we always say here, go get yourself a few tacos. Night, night, Jack.
This is the Chad Benson Show.